You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there from the team at Undercurrent News, your trusted source for industry news, data, and prices. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione. And the Trump tariff saga continues. And there's no way that Amanda and I are talking about it all on our own.
That's right. Lauren and I talked about it actually with our boss too. And we suggested we just sit here and cry hysterically for 40 minutes, but he said no. So open up those phone lines, Lauren. We're calling in the big guns because snip, snap, Trump is at it again. So Jason Huffman, America's editor for Undercurrent News, our go-to guy for all the tariff nonsense. You dodged us last week to go see the Baltimore Orioles, but there's no escaping the tariff talk this week.
But before we grill you about the latest tariff news, we are primarily talking about China here. Jason, did you have the opportunity to try some seafood options while you were at Camden Yards last week?
Promise that you won't kick me out of the club, but I had a hot dog.
Get him out of here. So wait, Jason, Fox News put out a story this week about how people are turning from seafood towers to hot dog towers. Jason, are you one of those people?
I can't, you know, I gotta be honest too about this. Like, the hot dog was a bad decision.
We'll leave it at that.
It pretty much always is.
Well, speaking of bad decisions, let's waste no time talking about the tariffs. U.S. President Donald Trump is urging everyone to stay calm. In fact, he shared on Truth Social this week, be cool. But a few hours later, he posted that based on the lack of respect that China has shown to the world's markets, he's raising the tariff charged to China by the U.S. to 125% effective immediately.
And that was only the beginning. He also lowered most global tariffs to 10% for a 90-day period. And we'll get to that, obviously. But before we do, Jason, I was hoping that you could explain where the seafood industry currently stands with US and China, because before Trump hit China with 125%, China slapped us with an extra 50% tariff on US goods. And as we speak, I think there might even be more developments coming from the China tariff that we're imposing.
Please don't do this, because it's triggering for me. There are so many tariffs flying around right now, and it just keeps going up and down, back and forth. I saw a cartoon recently where someone put Bugs Bunny versus Daffy Duck and said, tariffs on, tariffs off, tariffs on, tariffs off. I just don't know. But there are so many tariffs. The U.S. tariffs on Chinese products now total 145%. That includes Trump's latest hike to 125%, related back to his April 2nd announcement, Liberation Day, which was originally 50%, and then it went to 84%. And then China issued some retaliatory tariffs. So Trump said, hold my beer. And then he went further out. If you add in the 20% that Trump earlier tariffed China in relation to fentanyl, and also the Section 31 action dating back to 2018, you're at that latest rate. It's a lot of tariff. Meanwhile, China has now slapped U.S. products with 131% in tariffs, and I don't think that's ending, because this is like, you know, two cars playing chicken. Neither one of them are going to swerve off the road. It's a nuclear war of mutual destruction. I don't know where this is going to end.
Yeah, and we're recording this right now, Thursday, April 10th, around like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So just a heads up, because everything is happening so quickly. You know, you can say it again. Trump is really hammering China right now. But before he had his sights set on China, he was preparing for an epic trade war with Canada and Mexico. Jason, where do those countries currently stand? Because there was a little bit of confusion when Trump made his second announcements regarding tariffs.
Yeah. And this is, again, thoroughly confusing, because it goes back to February, March, when Trump said he was going to issue 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico across the board. Seafood industry started to freak out, especially the lobster and the snow crab guys. And they thought, oh my God, this product's going to be so expensive if we start talking about a 25% tariff. Then around March 7th, he issued a statement, or the White House issued a statement, that said that items that were covered under the USMCA, US-Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, are not affected by this. Nobody paid attention to that, because we were all kind of like, everything that we were hearing was so jumbled and confused and contradictory. I don't think anybody believed that they were going to remove those tariffs. So we just kind of went on thinking that those tariffs were coming after multiple postponements. And then we get to the, you know, deadline, early March, and they don't issue the tariffs. So then this past week, we had this situation with the reciprocal tariffs. And it was, you know, the announcement made on Thursday when he said, I'm going to suspend all these country-specific tariffs, leave the 10% tariff in effect for everybody, and we're going to raise China's tariff to 125%. This happened at a presser at the White House. It was handled by Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt. A reporter asked Bessent if that 10% now applied to Canada, and I guess by implication, Mexico as well. And Bessent just said yes. And that then went everywhere. Reporters called the White House. The White House confirmed, yes, that is true. The 10% rate does apply to Canada and Mexico. I think it was about an hour later, people were freaking out all over the place. I got a call from a snow crab lobster wholesaler who said, "That can't be right. That can't be right." He's getting calls from suppliers in Canada. As it turns out, it wasn't right. The White House subsequently corrected the information, said, "No, that 10% is not going on top of Canada and Mexico. They're still tariff-free if they're USMCA compliant." Have I thoroughly confused you?
I'm staying silent on that matter. I was thoroughly confused ahead of time, honestly. That's why Lauren and I were like, let's get Jason on here. I don't know if everybody actually knows this too, but you were previously at Politico. So.
I was involved in their ag and trade publications, and that was where I learned first really all about trade, because I was, man, when you first get into trade, you don't realize how complicated it is. And I see people get things wrong all the time that I used to get wrong when I first learned about trade. It's complex.
Yeah, no, it's really, really easy to get confused, but that's why Undercurrent has the dream team assembled. So in addition to Jason here, we've also got editorial director Cliff White with us. And I'm gonna hit him with this next question. So with China taking the brunt of Trump's wrath, other countries were tossed a bone. New tariff rates on imports from most US trade partners are now down to 10% for 90 days to allow for trade negotiations. Cliff, which seafood producing countries have caught the biggest break here?
Well, the reciprocal tariffs affected over 200 countries, but they didn't affect all countries evenly. Now that tariff is effectively even for every country except for Mexico and Canada and China. And so the countries that got the break were the ones that were the so-called bad actors that got tariffs above 10%. A lot of seafood producing countries in Asia, Thailand, Vietnam, Taiwan, India, those countries all had their tariffs reduced from above 30% to 10%. Norway, I'm sure, will be talked about at some point later in the podcast. They went from 15 to 10%. Any seafood producer, and the list is on our website, that was above 10% is got a break. So that's internationally. And then the flip side is all these countries that had previously had an advantage of just having a 10% tariff now are on even footing again with all their competitors. So all these countries that were planning on taking advantage of their relative lower tariff now are back to square one.
Now, Cliff, last week when we had you on, we talked about what was happening domestically with the shrimp producers, and they were thrilled. Now, can you say how they're feeling now with this flip-flop?
Still thrilled.
Okay. Okay, that's good.
So I spoke with a board member for the Southern Shrimp Alliance, and they see the tariffs as a really good thing for the reasons we've discussed before, because it helps them compete against foreign competition, which they think is, and I think to some extent fairly think is subsidized and not held to the same environmental or labor standards. All their major competitors, except for Ecuador, were facing 30+% tariffs. So that would have given them a huge leg up in the supermarkets. But now, with all those competitors now at 10%, it's less good news for them, but they're still really excited that Trump is taking action that they think is going to be part of a larger program to help domestic industry grow, survive. And the guy I spoke to, he's a shrimp fisherman in Alabama. He said, "You know, we don't expect our industry to ever come back to where it was in the 70s or 80s or even the 90s. We just want to hold on to what we've got now. And we're in danger of losing that. I mean, with shrimp prices as low as they have been, with prices for materials going up. And by the way, tariffs are going to make their material prices going to go up further. But they think they're going to be in a better competitive position to just hang on to what they've got to keep a domestic shrimp industry alive and existing for a while." But again, I think, you know, Jason alluded to this. This is just a 90-day pause. Things are changing so rapidly. And both I mean, for anyone in the seafood industry, like, keep refreshing the Undercurrent News homepage because things are changing super quick. And you talked about countries or people that have the so-called winners of this. I mean, the winners are companies that can pivot really quickly because things are changing. No one's a real winner when there's this much instability, and it just makes businesses turtle up and be as conservative as possible when things are changing this quickly. I think the next phase of this is the Trump administration is going to be negotiating with individual countries on tariff rates. So they've already met with Japan. They met with Vietnamese representatives yesterday. So they say they've got a couple of these deals cooking. It's going to be bilateral deals. Come and make your deal quick. The quicker you get a deal, generally the better you do with the Trump administration. So first in the door generally gets the best discount. We've got 75 different countries already trying to make deals now, according to the Trump administration. This is going to be changing on a day-to-day basis. So anything we say now, like you've said before, could be dated by tomorrow.
In the past 10 minutes, what has changed? And actually, I feel bad for you, Lauren, because Lauren and I are very very emotional. And so Lauren got out the weekly prices on Undercurrent, and then within like 10, 15 minutes, Trump makes his big announcement. So Lauren and I had a cry sesh
We
yesterday.
cried.
So Lauren, what's going on there?
Personally, or no? That's the nature of the landscape right now. Things are extremely volatile, but with each announcement, like Cliff said, you can be sure the team here at Undercurrent is on it, but always take note of the timestamps. But yes, there was a 90-day pause, and countries like Vietnam are breathing a bit easier the next few weeks. But that looming uncertainty is still keeping pressure on the markets, maybe just not as heavily as before the announcement. So markets like Pangasius or SWY, which is a value finfish item imported into the US from Vietnam, it's got import volumes in line or exceeding that of tilapia from China. So we are talking a substantial amount of volume for this fish. That looming 46% tariff rate was not something that market could sustain. The US is one of the leading export markets for Pangasius. And so, without US as an option, that's, not good news for producers in Vietnam. This week's assessment, we did see prices increase for this market, but not only was that due to pressure from markets, but reports of tight raw material supply that is anticipated through June, which is also supporting that firm undertone there. And of course, tilapia pricing from China has risen as well. And we just have to remember, Jason mentioned it earlier, every time these tariff increases, we also need to add that 25% from Trump's first term with those Section 301 tariffs. So you should see the amount of Post-it notes on my walls to keep things straight. And then to quickly touch on salmon, Chile originally at 10% and Norway originally at 15% are on level playing fields for the next 90 days. Canada still remains tariff-free, so holding an advantage. And I have already heard from some suppliers that they have some customers making the shift to buy from Canada to avoid those added costs. But overall, for this market, we're seeing a mix of opposing pressures from across the origins. Supply is ample. Demand is a bit tempered, given that we are in a peak demand season of Lent. So those factors are resulting in downwards pressure while the tariffs are offsetting that softening. Chile has a shorter production week next week, so things are expected to tighten up further as we inch closer to Easter. So there's a lot at play with salmon currently.
And we also have UCN senior price reporter Gary Morrison back on the line with us. Can't miss an opportunity to talk tariffs with Gary either. And we talked a little bit to Cliff about shrimp, but Gary, I was hoping you could talk to us about what's been going on with the US markets there too.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think there's a lot to talk about with tariffs and shrimp. And it's actually where we saw the most price action in the U.S. wholesale markets this week. Substantial price premiums were implemented pretty much right away when the tariffs were announced on April 2nd. Because really, once the reality of the tariff situation hit, especially from the Asian countries that Cliff alluded to before, our Asian source countries, where the tariff rates were the highest and replacement has been the most difficult coming into the country, for shrimp previously, that's where the changes were sharper and higher. But you also have to remember that the tariffs come on the back of anti-dumping duties and countervailing duties in the shrimp industry. So take a country like Vietnam, where we talked about one of the highest reciprocal tariff rates at 46% originally. That was on top of a 2.84 CVD and a 25.76 anti-dumping back in 2005. So what that did, and Jason and I talked about this a little bit in length, was it really altered trade flows. And I think that's what most people see as a reaction to these tariffs and the situation going on now is markets do balance and they become efficient. but it does take time. So where those countries that were hit with 25.76% AD from Vietnam in 2005, they simply found other partners. They are not shipping to the US. It's the companies in Vietnam that have the lower rate that are still sourcing to the US. In the initial ruling, we talked about clear winners and losers, and Ecuador was certainly a clear winner with the original 10% reciprocal tariff relative to the higher Asian countries. But now that's kind of evened out. We'll see what happens. I mean, tariff competitiveness is done. But really, with anything else, it's how quickly can things pivot? Cliff certainly, made a great point before. Ecuador is our number two provider of shrimp, but the US consumer really wants value added. They want convenience. And it's really hard just to turn that spigot on really quickly to make that business decision. They've been investing in plants, they've been investing in value-added processing, but they just can't do it overnight. So we still need to look to those Asian partners to get some of our product here. And then in the wholesale market, because things happen so quickly, buyers stepped in because they wanted to make sure that the first buy would probably be the best buy. So sellers started protecting that inventory that they had on hand here, and they were really allocating what they had and allocating the customer base as well. They weren't taking on new customers. They were just working with their existing customers. But I think it's really more about the uncertainty than anything else, right? Importers have to hedge themselves for that on again and off again tariffs, because if they do buy shrimp with a tariff, it's delivered here, and then all of a sudden it's taken off, their customers are going to look to them like, hey, the tariff's taken off. Are you reducing your prices? But you have that higher priced inventory here. So that's the conversations that I'm having. It's not so much about the tariff. If there was certainty, they could, make a business plan, but more about the uncertainty and how they could protect themselves, moving forward. And then, for lobster, I think Jason and Lauren, laid out the tariff situation pretty well, what's going on there. But the market did see another sell-off, a pretty broad-based sell-off for cold water lobster. And that's more about having, more inventory around than previously probably thought. And cash is obviously really paramount to these customers right now with the uncertainty. And there's a new season coming up, so they just don't want to hold that inventory moving forward. So that's really how it's playing out a little bit differently in both the shrimp and lobster markets.
Thanks, Gary. So as the seafood industry continues to navigate trade shifts, market volatility, and global policy changes, there's never been a more important time to stay informed. At Undercurrent News, we're here to keep you ahead of the curve with trusted U.S. wholesale pricing, global trade data, and breaking news coverage you can count on. If anyone would like a free trial or sign up for some of our crying sessions, there's a form you can fill out in our show notes, or you can email me at lc@undercurrentnews.com.
I just came up with a great promo for next Boston. We'll get customized tissues.
There you go.
That's a really
Handkerchiefs.
great, yeah. So
Well,
yeah.
hopefully by next year
No
we'll
more
all be out
tears.
on top.
No more tears. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool, everybody.